Good morning. Last week, we began talking about ribis derech knas, which, as we'll see, is one of the most common pitfalls in hilchos ribis. And as we'll also see, if used correctly, it is a tremendous heter and is a very convenient way to be mater some form of ribis. Now, the definition of ribis derech knas is that normally the issue of ribis is schar hamtanos mois. You owe someone money, or you borrow money from someone, and you're making a payment. There's a schar hamtanos mois. You're making a payment in order to hold the other person's money, to keep it, to use it for an amount of time. In contrast, the person borrows money, and it's an interest-free loan. You pay back on time, you pay at the end of the year, absolutely no interest. But if you go past the due date, if you breach the agreement and you pay late, then you get hit with a penalty. Now, in such a case, there are two svaras why it's mutter, and pashtus, and you need both of them. The first is that this payment is not paying for time. If you return it at the end of the last day of the year, before you go over the deadline, you pay absolutely nothing. There's no interest, there's no penalty, there are no payments whatsoever. You're returning the principal and that's it. You go a second over the deadline and you get hit with the entire penalty. Since this penalty has nothing to do with how long you're keeping the money, in such a case it's considered a knas and it would be mutter. Now, a second condition that you need, according to most paiskim, is you also need that the knas does not buy you more time. Now, if the deal is you have to pay back by the end of the year, if you're late, you get hit with a penalty, and you can keep the money for another year. That would be awesome, because by paying the penalty, you're essentially buying the right to hold on to the money for another year. So, according to most achrayim, that would be awesome. Taz is meiko, but nevertheless, lahalacha, roif poiskim are machmer. Now, when you're dealing with ribis derech knas, al pi din, the Rashba writes that it should be mutter. Nevertheless, when you're dealing with a loan, there the Rashba writes it's also because of haramas ribis. It looks like ribis. People will do it as a harama. They'll set up a loan and call it a penalty instead of interest, and therefore Chazal came along and they assered it. So if you're dealing with a loan, even if it's a penalty, it will be asur mishum haramas ribis. However, because it is only an Isser Midrabanon, and it's even less than regular Avak Ribis, it's only Haramas Ribis. Therefore, L'chayr, if you're dealing with a Moisid, if you're dealing with Moisid Simon, if you're dealing with a Karen with a Gamach, L'chayr, it should be Mutter. And therefore, if a Gamach wants to lend money, and it's interest-free, but they're going to put a one-time penalty, if you pay late, assuming the money belongs to the Karen, it's not private money, that would be Moisid Simon. And there will be mutter to charge a one-time penalty. Now, this is all a one-time penalty. If you pay on time, there's no fee. You are over the deadline, you get a one-time penalty. However, if you're going to have a recurring penalty, for every month you're late, it's another 1.5%. Here, the halacha is that is ribis gemura. According to many poskim, it is ribis d'oraisa. And therefore, in such a case, even by Moyes Yisayim, according to most Paiskim, it would be Asr. So a one-time penalty by a loan is Haramas Ribis. So for a regular person, it would be Asr. For a Moyes, it would be Mutter. If you're dealing with a recurring penalty, that would be Ribis D'Oraisa, according to many Paiskim, and a person would have to be Machmer. Now, this is all when you start with a loan. You lend someone money. If he doesn't pay on time, there's a penalty. So there, even though midaraisa, it should be mutter, for if it's a one-time fee, it's considered a haramas ribis. However, because it is only a haramas ribis, the Rivash paskins, and the Ramav brings this down in Kufayin Zayin, that if it's not a regular loan, if you sell an item, if you rent an item, or even if it's a loan, but you're paying back with merchandise, there's no iser of haramas ribis. And therefore, by a mekach u'memkar, if you're buying something, you're selling something, and you want to make a penalty, if the person doesn't pay on time, there's a one-time penalty, that would be mutter. The isser is only when you're dealing with a loan. Now, if you want to make a recurring penalty, if you want to provide a service and then and if he doesn't pay on time, it's 1.5% a month. There, since by a regular hava, it's ribis gemura, it's ribis daraisa, you cannot be mekel, even by mekel chumemkar. But a one-time penalty by mekel chumemkar, that is going to be mutter. Now, this is a very convenient heter, because we discussed a few weeks ago that very often people sell things and they have the equivalent of 2-10 net 30. If you pay on time, you get a certain discount, a 2% discount. You pay 30 days later, then you pay the full price. And we pointed out, according to most places, that's also. Because essentially, there's one price if you pay on time, and there's a higher price for paying on credit. When there's a two-tiered system where you pay more for paying on credit, that will be also. Based on what halacha we learned this morning, we have a nice workaround. Instead of saying, you have two choices. Either pay COD and get a cheaper price, or pay later and pay a higher price. You have another way of wording it. You say like this: I'm selling it. You have to pay today. And if you pay today, the price is $98. If you don't pay within 10 days, I'm going to hit you with a 2% penalty, a knas. And since it is a one-time knas, so then the halacha would be, if the person waits and pays after 10 days, he'll have to pay the penalty. And this is a way to set up a system similar to 2-10 net 30, where if you pay on time, if you pay right away, you pay a lower price. If you pay later, if you go past the 10 days, you get hit with a penalty with a kanas. So this is a way to be matter to pay to set up a similar system. Now, this halacha is not dependent on semantics. It's not just a question of what you call it. The point over here is a different, very basic difference between the two cases. When you're offering someone two prices, you're telling him, you can either buy the item for $98, or you can buy the item and get credit for $100. So you're selling, the buyer has that option, and you're agreeing, you're selling him the credit for $2, and that will be awesome. What we're talking about now is, you're not giving him the option. You're selling it to him, it's due within 10 days. And if the buyer says, you know what, I'd rather wait and pay the penalty, halacha is, you can say no. You can haul him in front of a Beis Din. You bought the item. You agreed you're going to pay within 10 days. You have to pay. Now it's true, if you don't pay, besides the fact that you're a Rasha, you're not paying on time, you'll also get hit with a knas. I'm going to add on a $2 fee. So that's a knas, and that will be mutter. But there's a basic difference. The point is not just what you call it. The point is that when it's derech knas, the buyer's obligation is really to pay within the 10 days. So while you certainly can be meichel there, but I'll call upon him, it's a difference in the arrangement, and that's why it's mutter. You're not selling him credit for $2. You're punishing him for breaching the agreement with this $2 penalty. You write the price for 10. You can write, there's a penalty if you go past that. There's a 2% penalty.
You can't give him two choices.
Once he has the two choices, pay now 98, pay later 30, that's already a problem because he's paying more for credit. When he has to pay now, but you warn him, if he doesn't, you'll hit him with a penalty, that's a different structure. And derech mekel chumemkar, that's mutter. So is to the extent that the seller is okay with it, he says he doesn't care. It's ben adam l'chaveiro. If he doesn't care, then he has every right to be meichel. But this, it's set up where this is where he does not have the right to wait. Well, biyomi titein schara is by schiras pailim, when you're hiring a worker. If you're buying or selling something, there is a concept of leva rosh lo yashalim. You have to pay all your bills on time. But a mitzvah saseh or a loy saseh is not going to apply. Now, the most common scenario where this comes up, and this is probably the most common ribbis issue that people miss, is every time you sign a lease. Typically, your rent is due first of the month. If you pay past the 10th or past the 15th, there is a penalty. So it depends how the penalty is set up. If it's a one-time penalty, You pay after the 15th a $50 charge. That's fine. It's a one-time fee. It's derech mekach u'memkar. You rent. It's not a loan. So that would be mutar l'chamchil. However, if it's set up that all unpaid rent accrues 1.5% a month, now already we're talking about a recurring charge. That already is ribas gemura, and that would be aser. So when you're signing a lease, there's nothing wrong with writing a penalty, but it has to be a one-time penalty. It cannot be recurring. Now, there's nothing wrong with putting the penalty, a one-time penalty, for each month. It's each rental payment. Doesn't mean over the year you can only charge it once. Each month, there's a separate rent due. If that payment is late, you can hit the tenant with a fee. What you can't do is say that January's rent, if he doesn't pay for 6 months, you hit him. He has to pay six fees, because that would be recurring. But if he's late on January, he's late on February, you can charge him a separate fee for each month, because each one's a separate payment. Each one is a separate debt. Yes, because one of the problems you have with this system is what happens is if a person misses 1 month, so he gets hit with a fee. Once he gets hit with a fee, now he has no incentive to pay, because he can't hit it, because it's not accruing, it's not recurring. So once he already, breached the agreement, he's paying that penalty, he'll never pay that month. So what you can do is like this. It's true, this month you have no leverage over him to force him to pay. But what about next month's rent? So if he's a chacham, the next month, it's January, he misses. He owes the fee. Comes February, he says, listen, I'm paying you for February's rent because I don't want to get hit with the fee. January's rent, call me back in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about it. So what you could do is you could write in the contract that any payment automatically gets credited to the oldest debt. And that way, if come February 1st, he just pays you 1 month's rent, you tell him, no, I'm taking that for January. And therefore, in another 10 days, you're going to get hit with another late payment fee if you don't pay February's as well. If he didn't write, that's a good question. You find the Ktzos actually says that it's automatic. When you have one choyev that has Baltal and the other one that doesn't, the halacha is in the sugya of Sitroi, it's not really Sitroi, but generally the Malva has the right to choose. If you have two debts, the Malva can choose which debt to take it for. So at least by a regular loan, it's up to the Malva, so he would be able to say, I'm taking it for the older debt. Even if the tenant says, I want to pay it only for the new debt, the Malva would have the right to choose. Now, you could be Mechali to Minah Halva, wherever there's Malva, it's not clear whether it'll apply to other Chovis, but if you write it in the contract, it'll certainly be covered. It pashtus could be a percentage. The point is, it's a penalty, it's a knas, so as long as it's not accruing, then it should be fine. I believe there are some that are machmir, but I don't know of any makar to make such chalukah.
Why is it considered in by rent? There's no halva.
That's true. In the case, the mechaber that says ribas gemura is talking about by a loan where they knas, but it's recurring. But because he calls it ribas gemura, and according to many poskim, it's ribas d'oraisa, so by rent it'll be ribas d'rabbanan, but it will not be mutter. It's only where you have a one-time fee, which is only a haramas ribas, even by a loan. So then, when you're not dealing with a loan, when you're dealing with mekach memkar, or you're paying back with payros, there already it will be mutter l'chanchila. It's a ktitzas ribis, it's a ktitzas ribis, and once the debt is due, even though he ends up paying it earlier, it's we discussed. The sima diloy asli de gvio is machloikis tanom, I'm a rom, and it's not clear in halacha. And you should not be using the contract. You should cross it out and make it into a one-time fee. Now the truth is, if you want to be technical, you can really get two penalties for each month. To do this, we'll have to remember a shir that Rabbi Gurtzman gave a few weeks ago. And if anyone recalls, there was a mission that said there's a difference between a rental and a mecha. When you buy something and you pay one price for if you pay right away, and a higher price for the future, by mecha chumemkar, that's going to be awesome. However, the halacha is by a schirus. There's nothing wrong with telling a person if you pay in the beginning of the schirus, you get a discount. You pay at the end of the schirus, you pay a higher rate. Because schirus mishalem esel l'b'soif, we don't look at that higher rate as ribis, and it'll be mutter. So now we have another rate. We have January's rent. Even without a penalty, we have the right to say, by every schirus, if you pay in the beginning of the month, you pay $1,000. If you pay at the end of the month, your rent is $1,100. That's mutter because of Marban al-Sirus. That's the Mishnah. Now we can add that if you pay 10 days past the end of the month, then you're going to hit with a knas. This is a one-time knas. This is, you're only doing it once, so that would be mutter. So if you set it up like this, you can end up with two penalties instead of one, because simply the first one is the halacha of Marban al-Sirus. The second one will be a penalty. A little bit more complicated in the contract, but regardless, it is something that you have to be aware of, that anytime it's a recurring fee, whether it's a lease, whether it's a service, you go to a doctor, a lawyer, and they bill 1.5% a month if you're late, these are all recurring fees, so even if it's called a penalty, it still would be usur according to Rav Paiska. Now, interestingly, in this concept of a knas used to be used instead of a heter iska. What people used to do is, if a person wanted to borrow money, what they would do is they would go to a merchant. The merchant needs the money. So the merchant would sell something at a discount. He'd say, give me the money today, and I'll sell it. If he had it in stock, he'd say, I'll give it to you at a discount. And I have to deliver it by a certain deadline. If I don't deliver the goods to you, then I'm going to pay you a penalty. And that's what was done. The expectation or the understanding was the buyer, if you will, who was really the lender, he was the bank, had no interest in buying 1,000 pounds of marshmallows. But it was done as a haroma. It was done, were they paying the money? If you deliver the marshmallows, then that's it. The buyer would have to take them. But if you don't deliver the marshmallows, then you have to pay back the amount that I gave you plus a knas. And that is a way to avoid the issur of ribis. Correct. It's if you probably one of the reasons why we do not use this heter today is the borrower can just deliver the marshmallows. Now, to protect yourself, what they did is they bought the marshmallows at a very heavy discount. So, in other words, it wasn't worthwhile for the borrower to do that. It was more kedai for him to just pay the money and to pay the knas. But you have to be careful then, because once you're selling items at a discount, you have problems with mafarish and yeshloi. You have to be consistent with all the halachos we learned in the past few weeks. Correct. It's only one time. The other drawback is it's only a one-time knas or interest fee, if you will. It's not occurring, recurring, and therefore it's less convenient today. No. What they would do is they would write that if you didn't deliver, then you'd owe the money, and you would not have to deliver the marshmallows. Afal pikein, it would be mutter. It's a chiddush because it's still called derech mekachu memkar since it starts out as a sale. And chrami, it's a chiddush, but this is what the levush and the taz, they're all samech lahakol. So it seems this was a popular heteruska in those days. It's not used today primarily because of these reasons. The seller could always deliver the goods, and also because it doesn't accrue. Now, the next sugya that we have, which is also, it's an interesting sugya in the sense that at first glance, this gemara seems to be a gemara that is very uncommon and not very relevant in today's business transactions. But as we're going to see, this is negeya for shilohs that come up on literally a daily basis. The Mishnah and the gemara in Daf Samech Amud Beis has a very interesting case. A person buys a field. The seller makes up that at any time he can refund the buyer's money and take the field back. Now the Gemara says in that case it is ribis, and according to the Mechaber it is ribis doiraisa. Why? You're buying a field. What's the problem here? The problem is that when you're selling the field, what's really happening? You need the cash. You're selling the field. The buyer is giving you $100,000 for the field. He's taking the field. He's eating the payers. He's collecting the rent. Whenever the seller wants, whenever he has the money available, he's going to return the $100,000 and he's going to get the field back. So the buyer is essentially advancing $100,000 to the seller today. He's going to get it back in a month, a year, 5 years, whenever that is. In between, until the seller refunds his money, what's the seller doing? He's collecting the rent. So essentially, we look at this as at this sale as a sham transaction. It's essentially a loan. The buyer is lending money to the seller. And in exchange for the loan, he's collecting the rent, he's eating the payros, and this would be ribis, and according to the Mechaber, it would be ribis d'oraisa. Well, the seller has every right. He might be able to sell it, but even that sale would be subject to this original deal. Which, well, very good. So vice, it's true. There is a certain level of risk. However, since you're advancing the money, and fields generally don't disappear, they're still there, you could get back the same item. That is considered ribis. Correct. This is one of the kashas, this is one of the kashas they have on the Igros Moshe. Because the seller, l'chayr, has no personal liability. The seller doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to give him money back. He doesn't owe any money back. So Micha Shloima in Tinyana and Simon Ayin Aleph, this is one of his kashas on the Igros Moshe. And it's not a starker kasha. But a koponim, you see, since this sale, even though it's done derech mechel chumemkar, it seems you're buying a field, you're selling, you're just going to buy it back later. That is considered ribis d'oraisa. Now, interestingly, the Rajba deals with this shaila not in hilchos ribis. He deals with it as far as tax evasion. It seems that back then you paid taxes on unrealized capital gains. If you had a property, it went up in value. So that year you had to pay taxes based on the new value. Now, property was taxed at one rate. Loans were taxed at a higher rate. So what happened is a person bought a property from a guy. He paid him $10,000. He buys the property. The deal was that whenever the guy wants to, he can pay him back $10,000 plus a certain rate, and he can buy the field back. Came time to collect the taxes. The person says, I own a field. So I should pay my taxes on the field rate. The IRS, or the Kehillah, whoever was in charge of collecting the taxes, said nothing doing. It's true you bought the field, but you bought it. The seller has the right, whenever he wants, to buy it back. So if he has the right to buy it back, this is a sham transaction, and it's a loan. We should charge you, your income should be taxed as a loan, not as the field rate. The tax is based on either the value of the property or the value of the loan, what was outstanding. So the question was, do we look at this as the person now owns a property, he pays one level of taxes. Or do you look at it as, no, he has a loan outstanding to the guy, and that's taxed at a different rate. So the Rajba of the Apostles, based on this sugya, that a loan that you can undo, that you can reverse, a sale that you can reverse is not considered a sale. And therefore, it gets taxed as if it were a loan, not as a real estate transaction. Now, this halacha is only when you sell the item, and you sell it on the condition that whenever you want, you can buy it back. However, if you sell the item without any strings attached, but the buyer says, "Well, you should know I'm a nice person. I know you're desperate. If you come back to me with the money, I'll probably give it back to you." As long as it's not a commitment, a schus moment, it's not a tnai in the mechira, even though he gave this haftacha, he gave his word, as long as it's not a binding commitment, there's no problem with ribis. Because the sale is a good sale. It's true the buyer indicated that he plans on being nice and selling it back on a request, but you can't force him to do it, so as long as it wasn't a tnai, the isser would not apply. And at the same token, the halacha is, if you buy it, if you sell the field without any conditions, and then a few minutes later, the buyer makes a binding commitment that whenever the seller wants, he'll return it, as long as the commitment was after the sale, at the time the sale was done, it was a pure sale. Afterwards, there's nothing wrong with a buyer committing and signing a contract that whenever the seller wants, he'll give it back to him. We're getting there. Now, this halacha there was a huge controversy about it, because what people used to do in order to another way, you know, it's interesting. If you look through all the tshuvas about ribbis, everyone was always scrambling to find some creative way to get around the problem. So at one point in history, what became popular was people used to go to pawn shops, or the equivalent of a pawn shop. They used to sell their jewelry at a fraction of the price. And the understanding was, when they got money, they'd come back, they'd buy it back. Now what happened is that someone went ahead and did this. They sold their jewelry at literally a tenth of its true value. A few weeks later, they had the money. They came back they were going to redeem it, add a few dollars for the interest. And the seller said, "Nothing doing. You sold it to me. I want to keep it. It was a great deal. I'll make more money selling this jewelry than I will if I return it to you collecting the interest. I'm not giving it back to you." So Zog the Tzemach Tzedek, nothing doing. It's clear the seller only agreed to sell it to avoid Hilchos Ribbis. He didn't mean for it to be a real sale. And therefore, the buyer has the right to force the seller to sell it back. So in this, all achrayim are matmiyah. To the extent that the buyer can force the seller to sell it back, we're back to a problem of ribbis. So most poskim, because of this, argue. They say if it's really based on the rabbi, that if it's clear and it's understood that you have the right to undo the deal, even though it wasn't spoken out, as long as it's understood, there where an abesin can be kaifa, in such a case it clearly would be aser. There are some that, as a limud zchus, say that even though when people go ahead and do this deal, they think they have the right to buy it back. So the Ateres Chacham says, really, when a person does this, why is he selling his jewelry at a fraction of the value? Because he knows there's a problem of ribbis. He's trying to avoid the yeser. Zog Ateres Chachamim, a person's das is, I'm doing whatever it takes to avoid the yeser. So therefore, he paskins, ein ochanami, if the seller wants to keep it, he'll be able to. Even though if you ask the buyer and the seller, really, you know, they understand that they have to sell it back. Since they're kavana, they're doing this to avoid the ribbis, we say that they're binding themselves as the final sale and you do not have the right to buy it back. But be that as it may, the bottom line is, if you sell it and you either say you have the right to buy it back or it's understood there that you would have a problem with ribbis. On the other hand, if you sell it without any conditions, the fact that he will be nice enough, or the fact that afterwards he signs a shtar, is not a problem. Now, there are two other interesting heterim, and that is the Sma Paskins, that what's the problem here? The problem is that if I sell something and I have the right to buy it back, that's a sham transaction. What happens if I sell it, and there's a certain, for a year, I have no right to ask for it back? From a year and on, at that point, I can redeem it. Zaktisma, that's fine. Because the whole problem is when I sell it, and at any point the buyer can undo the deal, or the seller can undo the deal. But if there's a period of time where the sale is a good sale, the buyer goes ahead, eats, the payer does what he wants, there the fact that later on I can redeem it, he says that doesn't undo the original sale, and the Sma paskins that would be mutter. Not really. It's a mecher. Since for a year no one can redeem it, that shows it's a true mecher. From a year and on, you can redeem it because there's a tanai. But we don't say that tanai undoes the whole deal. Good. So the Gemara says, "Bati ari chayma." The Gemara says, "Is ribis gemura va'atayra tirus." It says it really is aser, but is it gzeras akasev that it's mutter? That is one of the that's part of this sugya. We see that those cases where you can be paid to it would be usher if not for the fact there's a special gezeiras hakasev. Now, similarly, different case but a similar lumdus, the Chavis Das paskins, that the isser is only that if you sell something and the seller can whatever he wants return the money, we say that when he returns the money, the whole deal is batel l'mafreya. However, if you specify the sale is a final sale. But it's al tanai that if I return the money, you have to sell it back to me again. You make it clear, you're not being mevatel the original deal. You have to make a new kinyan, a new mechira, to sell it back to the seller. Since you speak out that the sale is a good sale, just you're forced to resell it at a later date, The Chabad Da says that also would be mutter. Because again, the whole problem is that the sale is considered just a sham. It's not a true mecher. If it's worded in a way where the mecher is a final mecher, just you can force him to do a second sale to sell it back in the future, there the Chabad Da is mekel as well. Excuse me? So what he says is, it's true the kavanah is the same, but he says the isser is because you're selling it and you make up, whenever you're giving back the money, then the deal is undone. He learns that what that means is that it's undone l'mafreya, and that means l'mafreya was a loan. So the problem is not so much the fact that you could give back the money and get back the item. The problem is that it was never considered a mekach, it's nothing more than a loan. But if you set it up where it's done as a mekach, and it's not mevatel mafreya, it's only mikan ul haba, so then, as long as the mekach is kaim. And that is the Chabad Da's chiddush. Now again, both of these chiddush and the sma and the Chabad Da's are not without controversy. There are many achronim that argue on each of them, but at least there is a tzad, a tzad lahako. No, it will be more than that. The question is whether if he doesn't, it's a bitulah tanayim. When it's bitulah, then it becomes a mafreya, and then you'll have a ribs problem. But that's all part of the shmuz. How you force in the future. Okay, so we'll get to that either later or in a different year. And the Chikri Leiv has a fascinating case. He wants to know what happens like this: a person sells a field. He has no right to buy it back. But he says, my child has the right to buy it off you. So Zakat Chikrei Leiv, it's not a problem. Because the whole issue is, if I sell it and I have the right to redeem it, we say it's a joke. It's just a loan. I'm not Mechavin, I'm not Goyim Radas, it's never a sale. However, if I'm selling it and I can never get it back, the fact that a third party can get it back doesn't take away from the mecher. The seller is going redas, and Chikrei Leiv says it would be mutter. He brings down other cholkim. He says that if the child is soymech al shulchanoi, it would be haram, it would be aser. But as long as it's not soymech al shulchanoi, as long as it's a third party, he says that would be mutter. Now this leads us back to really where the most common occurrence of this shaila, and that is, until now we're talking about, you sell goods, the seller has the right to redeem it. What about the opposite case? What happens if you sell something and the buyer, whenever he chooses, can decide, you know what, I want to return it, take back the item, give me back the money. So over here, there's no discussion in the Gemara and the Rishayim, but the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says the same halacha will apply. Since if either party can undo the deal, it's not a sale, and we have a problem of ribbis. This creates tremendous problems. Every time you go to a store and you buy something, there's generally a return policy. Within 30 days, the buyer has the right to change his mind, return the item, and get his money back. If he does that, essentially, the buyer lent the store the money. He used the item for 30 days. He's now returned. He's getting his money back. And he got free rent of the item for a month. So based on this sugya, this should be ribbis daraisa.
Is that enforceable?
What?
If it's okay,
depends on the case, but probably. So lechor, we have a very big problem that every time you buy something from a store that has a return policy, if you use it, it's ribbis daraisa. Now, if you don't use it, you just take it home. It's like clothing, where once you wear it, you can't return it. But they're just giving you time to decide whether you want it. There was no hishtamshus, there was no ribbis. So it's not a problem. But if you're buying something, you have the right to use it and then give it back, we're back to a shayla of ribbis daraisa. Now, Baruch Hashem, it seems the Haimish stores are Bukim and Hilchas Ribbis. They realize the tremendous nichshol that it will create, and they made Baruch Hashem have pretty miserable return policies. So if they don't let you bring it back, there's no problem. But if you're dealing with a Jewish-owned store that does let you return it, and you use it in between, based on this Gemara, this should be ribbis daraisa. Correct. That means after the 30 days, there'll be no problem. But within that time frame, and especially, so within time frame, it's probably tzadach beribis. There's a rivash that says it'll only be tzadach beribis. But certainly, if you do return it, you'll have a, you'll have this shy one. So, p'diyavad l'chachila, I don't think would play a role. It's a question of. Oh, very good. So Bris Yehuda says this svara. He says that in a case where it's done, where it's derech mechel memkar, where if you would walk into Walmart and ask them, why do you allow people to use your items for 30 days before giving it back? So their answer will probably be, because we don't care, we send it to the manufacturer, it's their loss. But even if it is their loss, their answer is going to be, this is our way to sell. And it's kedai to do this, and one out of 10, 20 people will return it. But this way, we double our sales, in the long run, it's worth it. It is highly unlikely they're going to tell you that the reason why we do this is because we get the cash flow for 30 days. So the Bris Yehuda says that in a case where it's clear that they would let you use it, if you gave them, if they accepted post-dated checks, they would allow you to use it even if you gave that post-dated. They're not doing it because of the Amtanas Mois. There's a Svara Lahakal. Lamaisa, he says, and the Harris Nassan also passes like this as well, what you should do is you should change the return policy slightly, and you should write the in the return policy that it's change it into a buyback policy. Change it that if the customer is not happy within 30 days, you will buy it back from him. Once you're using a language to make it clear it's not batel mikano l'mafreya, it's only mikano l'abba, so the other Chavis Das said it's always mutter in such cases because you're not undoing the sale retroactively. So in this, so certainly over here, where there's a strong svara, where that it's nothing to do Amtanas Mois, there's a svara that the reason why they're letting you use it is simply because that's a better way to sell. In addition, it happens in metaltalin. There is a dasio. There is a shita that this halacha does not apply to metaltalin. It's not lahalacha, but it's another tziruf. So certainly in such a case, if you word it as a buyback policy, it will be mutter. Once it's a buyback policy, what the best way to work it out, or if they agree to reverse the credit card charge because that way they save their 2% fee, that would be fine. But the point is it's structured that it's not l'mafreya, it's mikano l'haba, it's not undoing the deal, it's just a right that the buyer has. No, so that was it. The Chavis Das learns that the whole issue is only when you say, whenever you give the money, I'll give you the field back. And the stoma, the presumption is that means that it undoes the deal of mafreya. But if you use language that makes it clear that when you give me money, I will resell it to you, it's a new kinyan, there the Chavis Das says that it's always mutter. Now, although there are chokum on the Chavis Das, in this case where it's metatl and where you have these other svaras lahokal, the poiskim are all mekel. Correct. If you're charging the person for the use, then there's absolutely no problem.
Most people, not all people, they buy my credit card, right? So it comes like this. When you buy a product, if I'm the vendor, I'm not getting no money. I'm getting the money from PayPal or from Visa or wherever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. It could be that makes it a little nicer, because with my stuff, I'm using the money of me. I'm using the money from PayPal.
Well, you're getting the money from PayPal, but it's being forwarded to you on behalf of the Yisrael. They're not just, PayPal is not just giving you the money. They're paying it on behalf of the customer. Midin Evikanani, or Midin Arvus, at the end of the day, it's the customer that's getting you the money, and therefore this issue would apply. Is it Leichtim? I'm not sure. I mean, it's, standard ribbis, it won't make a difference. Could be, again, you can clear that Evikanani by a goy, you can come up with, interesting lumdus, but pashtus, that shouldn't make a difference. Right.
What price is that suit? The price that it was when you first purchased it, or the price that you're selling it for is gone?
Well, it's not. It's lav dafka. You could make up today that I will buy back to you at this rate. As long as at the time of the sale, we can make up that the buyback will be at the same price. It's fictitious. It's it's certainly a harama in a sense that we understand what's being done. But until you return it, it's yours. If anything happens to it, it's your responsibility. So Chavis Das learns that since it's a new sale at that time, that would be mutter. Again, a credit card that is true under certain circumstances, but regardless, if you pay cash or you give a check, you pay immediately, and the same return policy applies. Now, it's true if, to a certain extent, if the stores accept post-dated checks, or in the olden, if they take credit cards, in the olden days where it took them 2 weeks to get the money, that proves that they're letting you use it has nothing to do with Schar Matanos Mois, because they let people who charge with credit cards. Where they didn't get the money, they gave them the same right. So in such a case, you had a very good hoichacha and a very good proof and an umdana that in that case there's nothing to do with hamtanas mois. Today, the credit cards, they usually get it within a day or two, so we don't have that same proof, but the facts probably have not changed. I think it's probably pretty clear in most situations that the use of the item has nothing to do with hamtanas mois.
They would never do it.
Correct. There is a very strong, umdana and ansadi that has nothing to do with the halva. It's still better to get in the schavas das and call it a buyback, because when you're doing something which is, there's a mishnah that says that it's also. And now you have a svar to say that the party's intent here is different, it's still better to be samech on another sheet and kedai to change it into a buyback policy. There's no real practical nafkamina to a buyer. And that's really the way it should be done. So when you have Goyish customers, you obviously don't have a problem. But when you have a Yiddish customer, you will have this shaila. And if there's no restocking fee, if they're able to just give it back, it's kedai to write to make it into a buyback. And you always will have in these cases, you always will have the Igros Moshe to be Samechan. Because they're lending the money usually to a corporation. If the company goes bankrupt, the owner doesn't have to refund it. You can't refund an item to a store that's bankrupt and go to the owner and say, I want the money back. So you always will have the Igros Moshe to be Samechan if there's a corporation in between. So Hameko, you have what to be Samechan. The fact you're in the Loiva in this case. But it's in general, it's Kedai to make it into a buyback to avoid the Shiloh completely, according to the Chavis Das.